On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we'll tell you why the media is completely wrong about the relationship between John Gruden and Derek Carr. Bust out those checkbooks because Raider tickets are as expensive as they get. And also, how will the offense handle having two first-string running backs? Sounds like a great problem to have. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Nirvana CBD at nirvanacbd.com. Use promo code AW20 for 20% off. Nirvana CBD, find your state of natural relaxation, and we love that you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you're listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay?
I'm in the fucking nightmares.
Caught! Touchdown! Raiders!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. You're really sounding like Mr. Ohio, John Gruden there. During that intro,
fucking nightmares.
When he's cussing, he sounds like he's been barricaded in like an Ohio State Buckeye fan club and just like force fed Miller High Life. Yeah,
fucking
like
nightmares.
Fucking nightmares. Well, speaking of nightmares, it's going to be a nightmare getting into Raider games this season. Yeah. Last week, we had the schedule reveal. We got all jacked up, saw the schedule, 4 primetime games, 2 Monday Night Football, Thanksgiving. By Raider standards, the travel isn't that bad, right? Yeah. Only 8th worst most miles when normally it's like number
1. First or second, yeah.
Yeah, like top 5. You know, no Mexico City games, no London games, only go to the far, far, like on the actual East Coast twice, one of them after a bye. We got all excited about it. And so what always happens when schedules are released is multiple articles, multiple places go by, all right, what are the most expensive games to go to? What are the cheapest games to go to? Which teams are the cheapest? What teams are the most? Before we get to the most, in the Jets, right? The New York Jets, not the Oklahoma Jets, not the Dayton, Ohio Jets. The New York Jets have the cheapest average get-in price at $40.
Oof.
The New York, metropolitan, huh? Northeast area. I know they're actually in New Jersey, but the New York Jets, they're so bad. Even though they have the, you know, Zach Wilson, right? Second pick overall. You think that would add some excitement? Nope. $40. It's nice being a Jets fan, you know? You do all the complaining that they suck and lose all the time, but they don't have to like auction off a kidney to go to a game, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to drink, eat clean and drink healthy right now to get that kidney. Boost it up.
Mine some of those organs. So I have in front of me, and this is a couple days old. So there might have been minor changes, but according to Ticket IQ, ticket reseller, the resale value of tickets of the top 10 games on the NFL schedule. Okay. I bet you can get, you haven't seen this list yet.
No.
I bet you can guess number one. Can you guess number one?
Is it Tampa Bay and New England?
Bingo.
Hey,
$1,462 American dollars to get into the game. Cheapest ticket,
$1,462. Sucking a dick for getting head in the parking lot to get in.
I mean, how many handjobs would you have to give to go to that game? I guess we can ask Robert Kraft, who will be there.
No, you got to ask Deshaun Watson how many, what do you have to pay for all his shit?
Mm-hmm. $1,462.
Allegedly.
Now that's the obvious one, right? Tom Brady, going back to New England, Patriots, Bucks, like, okay, like that, you know, I get it. That makes sense. After that, it gets really silver and blacky. The second most expensive game, home opener.
Raiders, yeah. Monday night,
Baltimore Ravens, $808.
Well, it looks like I'm not going to that game.
The third most expensive game?
Oh, boy.
Chiefs at Raiders.
Oh, God.
$673.
It's like I'm not going to that game.
Fourth most expensive game? Chicago Bears at Raiders. October 10th, $629.
I'm not going to that game.
Fifth most expensive game? Eagles at Raiders. $604.
Eagles. Oh, you know the Eagles do have a young Mike Vick. Young Mike Vick at quarterback. fucking Juan from whatever the hell he was, like a West Covina.
Sixth most expensive game, not Raider. It's Cowboys at New England, $566. Mm-hmm. Seventh most expensive game, back to Raiders, Dolphins when they come to Vegas. For
all home games, huh? God damn.
All home games. Eighth most expensive game. You know that these Raiders tickets are insane. You know that everyone's excited about Vegas and Allegiant Stadium. You know the fans are going bonkers to finally be able to fill that venue for the first time. When the Bengals coming to Vegas is the eighth most expensive ticket of all of the games in football, $420. Vegas, again, ninth most expensive when the Washington football team comes to town, $394. And then the 10th most expensive game, Cowboys Bucks. So eight.
Looks like we're seeing the Chargers.
Eight of the top 10 most expensive tickets in the NFL. Allegiant Stadium. Raiders. I'm sorry, seven. And then one of them is an away game with the Raiders. Isn't that crazy?
Look, it's not. It's not. That's what we were saying from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Once you put a team that has a strong fan base in a destination, who the fuck? I mean, look, the fine people of Oakland, don't take this the wrong way, but who the hell wants to go to Oakland?
I liked it just for the novelty of wondering if I take a dump, is the toilet going to explode and shoot it back into my butthole?
Playing Russian roulette
with my sphincter.
I just wanted to like feel what it would be like to get going to federal prison, making that walk about over that bridge to the BART.
Look, I wanted to know what like a post-apocalyptic like DC comic book movie would feel like walking from the BART to the Oakland Coliseum on that concrete bridge with the fence and barbed wire over the top, graffiti everywhere, people selling shit, full of Raider fans, riffraff, just like you and I, people I would not trust.
There's a sign where Adam Hill got the shit kicked out of him.
Yep.
Adam Hill got his ass kicked here.
We should film like hope. Oh, damn, it's too bad.
We should do like a chalk outline of his ass.
I was gonna say we should film like a mini like a 3-minute documentary of like you, me, and him for the YouTube page, going back to where he got his ass kicked, and he shows us like, all right, this is where I was talking shit. This is where I went to go pee. This is where I got my beer. This is where I got my ass kicked. This is where my blood splattered. This is the BART I got into when it went the wrong way.
Right there. Oh my God. That's fucking crazy. No, but what I want to say is, yeah, Oakland is not really a destination. Vegas is a huge destination. So you're going to see a lot.
The destination.
You're not going to see a lot of this, you know, Southwest Airlines round trip, you know, fly out at 8 a.m., fly back at 8 p.m. type of stuff.
Yeah.
These people are coming out Thursday night, Friday off, spending the weekend, or probably coming in Friday late or Saturday early. Spending the weekend, coming back Monday. So this is, it makes sense. It makes sense. And, you know, even with those prices, there's not going to be an empty seat in there unless somebody just, you know, is on a heater, and you never leave the table when you're on a heater.
This is kind of like when like home prices in your area go up, like you want to brag and like be happy about it. You're like, oh shit. Like, cause we both live in Long Beach. Right.
Yep.
And the house I bought in 2012 is worth twice as much now. Like I'm just a broke ass RJ, but like a doctor moved in next door 2 years ago. Like that's how much like the property values are rising. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like what it is being a Raider fan. You're like, you get to brag. You're like, yeah, everyone wants to go to our games. You have the most expensive tickets. You know, like we make Bengals fans have to pay to go to a game. Bengals games are now in high demand when you come visit the Raiders in the Black Hole in Las Vegas. Like you want to brag about it, but then you're like, oh shit, I have to like sell my child away for child labor for 6 months to be able to just get in the door.
Like making that OnlyFans foot page or something.
Right. I mean, that would be the easy way out.
The thing is, when the Raiders start winning, it's going to be, I'm going to the Raiders game. No one's going to ask who they're playing because it's not going to matter.
Yeah.
So let's get there quickly, boys.
And I think also raising the price. So it's one, there's Raiders fans galore, right? Raiders travel really,
everywhere.
Really well.
Everywhere.
Like there's tons of Raider fans everywhere.
I went to a Dolphins game, and there was a ton of Raider fans there. I was shocked.
Every single time the Raiders are in town, that ticket is higher than the average price of any other team, right? I don't care where you are. Like, yeah, Miami, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Ohio, it doesn't matter. Like, Raiders travel that well, price is always more, right? So that's part of it. Two, obviously the brand new stadium, first time with fans. Three, I had this conversation with my boss at the UFC, how like UFC tickets, the last few pay-per-views have been higher than normal. I mean, the last pay-per-view, it was Charles Oliveira, Michael Chandler, like all respect to those badasses. Like, they're not Conor McGregor. They're not Ronda Rousey. They're not Brock Lesnar. They're not Jon Jones. Not these monster
they're not
draws.
RJ Clifford.
Not RJ fucking Clifford. But they can charge more. Why? Because we're coming out of a pandemic and everyone's like, I got to go do stuff. I got to go outside. I got to go to concerts. I got to go to shows. I got to go to fights. That's the other part of it too, right? Where people are just like, I want to go to a
people were caged up,
game.
Man. People were caged.
Caged animals frothing at the mouth.
I had more fights this last weekend. For those who don't know, I manage and I help coach at a Muay Thai fight gym. So we had a bunch of kids, some kids and some adults fighting us last weekend. And I told them all, guys, listen, these people have been caged up for a year, not being able to fight, just sparring their own teammates or just hitting the bags. So just be prepared for some people to come out guns blazing. And that's what, there was no boring fights. It was all just head to head, you know, action the entire time. And that's people are caged up, man. They want to do stuff, fun stuff.
And then finally, number four, I think also because it's Vegas, the casinos buy so many tickets as comps, right? Like all the shows and stuff that they have there.
Very few for the public.
Yeah. So like they just swoop up a lot of tickets just to like give to high rollers and stuff, or like try to lure high rollers back into town. So that raises prices as well. So, you know, you're proud that it's such high demand to go to our team, but you're also like, God damn it. This is, I don't know how many hand jibbers you have to give under bridges, Soto, to start buying some of these tickets, but.
Out in the open, baby.
It's going to be expensive. It's going to be expensive to be a Raider fan moving forward. I also wonder if it's going to change, like, the people in the, like, change the environment. Because, in Oakland, like, even the semi, like, lower-level seats.
No, we're all crazy.
It was all nuts. All crazy. All the time. Like, riffraff everywhere. People partying. You know, it wasn't like.
Dude, the families were up high, so it was safer to be up high.
Yeah.
You down low, you had these freaking college students who just, you know, pimped out their girlfriend or just sold their parents' car or something, and that shit was crazy.
I wonder how rowdy it's going to be when it's like, when you pay like $1,500 for a decent ticket to a Raider game. Like, are you going to risk like getting hammered and getting kicked out when you just paid like, you could buy like a used Nissan Altima with the money you spent to buy that ticket?
That would be a smooth flex though. Like, look, I spent $1,500 on this. I don't give a fuck. I got kicked out. I don't give a fuck.
It's like rock stars buying a Ferrari just to crash it. You know, just
there was a story. What was his fucking name? T-Pain bought a Bugatti and then he like burned out the engine in like 3 days and then he sold it back for like half the price. I wonder if he went broke, but yeah, that's a true story out of his mouth.
Hey, that's how you properly invest your money. Yep. Bugattis. All right. Well, the guy throwing the passes in front of the $5,000 tickets, Derek Carr. So one of the biggest, like the go-to media narrative about the Raiders, where it's like, okay, let's say I work for ESPN or CBS Sports or Pro Football or, you know, whatever, right? Wherever I'm working for, right? Pro Football Talk. And they're like, okay, we got to talk about the Raiders. The lazy, easy go-to line from these talking head commentators is the Raiders haven't been to the playoffs since Gruden's been here. Let's blame the quarterback. The quarterback needs to go. John Gruden doesn't want the quarterback anymore. John Gruden and Derek Carr don't get along. Gruden's got a wandering eye. He's always thirsty for a new QB. He wants to get that strange. Gruden wants Carr out of there, right? I think it's pretty fair to say that a huge chunk of the NFL media has run with that narrative for several years. It's calmed down a little bit this last season, Soto, because Carr had a good year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's I would say the major narrative around the Raiders is John Gruden wants Carr out. Fair?
Yeah, I mean, from the national media, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few people who are like, you know, Carr is Gruden's guy. Gruden's very happy with Derek Carr. I think that was a narrative coming out. Schefter said it when the whole Aaron Rodgers thing came out. Yeah. That for all these years, Carr has been Gruden's guy. He's like probably one of the more famous reporters mm-hmm. who's kind of sticking with that.
8 million Twitter followers. I mean, yeah. When the guy talks, a lot of people listen.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like all these guys like from national media, they like want to drum up this controversy, because if you're not paying attention, logically it makes sense. Oh, he's a holdover from the previous regime. He's gotten rid of everyone else, blah, 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 this and that. They haven't won. Okay, well, then his head's on the block. But it's really not the case.
Every single time a quarterback is disgruntled with his organization, Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, like list goes on. The Raiders Deshaun are always Watson. Up. What? Deshaun Watson, right? Yeah. Every single time the Raiders come up, whether yeah. because it's coming out of the quarterback's mouth or because people think that that's where they might want to go. Every single time a good quarterback's available, oh, would he make a fit for the Raiders? It sounds like he should probably go to the Raiders. He's Raiders in the top three places this quarterback would go, right? It's just been a running narrative. I'm sure you love it, Soto, because you hate Derek Carr so much. It's been a running narrative. Really? God, running narrative since Gruden arrived, right? And so not to pick on Mike Florio of Pro Football. Well, I am. Well,
let's pick on his bitch.
I do enjoy picking on him. He's definitely not the only one who's been pushing this narrative. But he's been pushing it the worst. This comes courtesy. I think we played this clip in February, 10 or 12 shows ago. Shout out to at Raiders Posts on Twitter. Definitely give him a follow. He cut this with Mike Florio. And you can hear by the names that he's mentioning and quarterbacks he's talking about. When this was and how long this has been going on with Florio. It's a long clip, but it's definitely worth it.
He deserves the criticism. The Raiders stunk this year, Derek. You can't tell me that Gruden, who is always thinking about everything, every permutation, every possibility, you can't tell me he hasn't at least some point considered whether or not he could upgrade at the quarterback position and maybe get a Ryan Fitzpatrick. I really do believe deep down that the Raiders are looking for a new brain for their Frankenstein monster. And that brain for an NFL team is a quarterback. Man. It's going to be a long decade or so for the Raiders until they find a franchise quarterback. The bottom line is, whether it's Nathan Peterman, Mike Glennon, or someone else, Jesus. I think the real message here deep down is that John Gruden wants not Derek Carr. A lot of great quarterbacks out there that John Gruden looks at and says, where's mine? I just think that John Gruden is going to be looking for somebody else, whether it's Jameis Winston or someone else. I think they're going to look and see what else is out there. And I think Derek Carr could very well be gone. I think John Gruden has kind of restrained his nature the past couple of years because he's concerned that Derek Carr would crumble under the full weight of what you experienced in Tampa with John Gruden. And I think he wants somebody where he can be himself, and he wants somebody that he can make into his next Rich Gannon. You know how John Gruden feels about Tom Brady,
right?
Yeah. And the idea that this gets him out of the Derek Carr conundrum, right. And we know that Derek Carr isn't good enough in John Gruden's eyes. That's a given. Now, sorry, Derek, you can block us on Twitter, but you can't block us on TV. You can change the channel. The idea that Derek Carr is going to take every snap that he wants to take with the Raiders for as long as he wants to is not only naive, it's incorrect. I've heard from a source that I trust that the Raiders are not going to trade him, but I've yet to report it at PFT because I still think even under those circumstances, you can't rule out John Gruden catching a wild hair.
So according to Florio, he thinks that Gruden would rather have Nathan Peterman,
Mike Glennon,
Jameis Winston,
Ryan Fitzpatrick. And this is a pre Sean Payton, Jameis Winston, mind you.
And that he would sell the farm to get Tom Brady.
The worst part is he was straight up told by someone in the Raiders organization, we're good with Carr. Don't trip. Like, we're not getting rid of Carr. And he's like, nah, dude, this is going to get rid of him. Yeah.
The facts, like my narrative is way more important than the
Florio,
facts.
You such a piece of fucking garbage, bro.
And again,
come on, man.
And it's not even like Florio is like a good troll. It's just lazy. It's just lazy, inaccurate content.
It's what he wants to have happen because it's drama and it's
personal bias. I guess Carr blocked him on Twitter for some reason. And
he's going to bury him
like a middle school girl. He's just like, oh, man, that's too much. I got to get rid of this guy. But OK, but in in a shred of fairness to Florio, even though he's the worst, he's by far, he's definitely not the, not only, the only guy one. Who's been saying this, right? A ton of NFL media and mainstream sports media have been saying something similar for years.
I don't know that anyone else in the media has reported being told otherwise.
It's by the
fucking Raiders and still says he's going to get fucking let go. I don't know if anyone else has done that or even at least admitted that they were told by the Raiders that Carr wasn't going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's what Florio and a big chunk of the NFL media think, that Gruden wants to get rid of Carr. Now, Gruden says a lot of things and, you know, he's very comfortable with microphones and cameras in front of him, right? He knows how to use the media. He knows how to use, you know, talking heads and the whole situation. This is John Gruden talking to Eric Allen on a Raiders-specific video from earlier this week.
You know, Derek is very underestimated. Yeah. He doesn't get much credit for how good he's playing.
Right.
But he completes a lot of passes. He changes plays at the line of scrimmage. He's starting to make more and more plays with his legs now.
Uh-huh.
Mariota was hurt most of last year. You got a glimpse of what he can
do.
Yeah,
right.
He's still a special talent. And Nate Peterman's a guy who we think is going to be a good player in time.
Get the fuck out of here.
These preseason games to see where some of these guys are. But it all starts at quarterback. And we put some pretty good players around, Derek. Yeah. I think it shows.
Okay. So that's what Gruden says. I think everything he said was fair. Good completion. He is running better.
Not the Peterman thing.
Not the Peterman thing. Okay, that's fair. Not the Peterman thing. That is a weird one. Okay, so that's Gruden on Derek Carr, one of the several times that Gruden's talked about him, but this is the most recent one. Here's Mike Mayock, who gets a lot more in depth. I feel like John Gruden's like, all right, here's like your 12-second soundbite. Mike Mayock's like, all right, I'll give you a minute. I'll give you a minute of my thoughts. He was on with Rich Eisen this week.
I think John and I are both excited and energized by Derek Carr and what he's done the last couple of years with John. I thought he's made a step forward each year. I thought he was one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL last year. And if he takes another step forward, he'll be a very, very special quarterback. Derek can play. And last year, Derek was not one of our problems. And what we did this year, Rich, which kind of has the whole building energized right now, is we're revamping our offensive line.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's more about how quickly that unit develops. We feel like we've got some real talent at the skill positions. We feel like we've got one of the top quarterbacks in football, and our offensive line is in there working their tails off every day.
So that doesn't sound like a coach and a GM who's ready to move on from their starting quarterback, QB1.
Yeah, you know, just to kind of veer off for a second, are you talking about lazy reporting? The second most thing that I hear in the media about the Raiders is, oh, they blew up their offensive line for no reason. And, you know, now they have a whole new offensive line.
That's incorrect. 35 million reasons to move on from those three players.
Number one, they were paying them the most out of anyone in the NFL, and they were not close to being the best unit, number one. Number two, the unit that they have now is full of guys who've started for them before. Mm-hmm. So it just, I don't know. That just gets me too. It's almost like,
that's a whole other rant.
You can appreciate this. Whenever, like in the early days of the UFC, they would say, yeah, it's owned by a company by Zuffa LLC, which is Italian for fight. It's like, everyone would say that. They would say the exact same thing. Or like how you and I get pissed off about the Darren Waller thing. Oh, he's a former addict. He was this. He was that. It's like, come on, guys. It's just you're repeating the same shit over and over again because you're too lazy to do your own work.
So So that's the coach and GM on Derek Carr, and it certainly sounds like they want to keep him around and think he's the QB1.
Yeah.
Now I know what you're saying. Well, coaches and GMs always say that. Why can't you go off somebody's word? Their job is to hype up their guys. Their job, because either it's true or they're hyping them up to trade them or whatever it may be, right? Like, of course, they're not going to trash their own quarterback, their starting quarterback or Pro Bowl quarterback. Okay, you're right. You're absolutely right. Words mean squat. You know what means something?
Actions.
Actions. Actions speak so much louder than words. So let's look at the 3-year history of John Gruden's second stint with the Raiders and see if his actions say, I am a coach that wants to get rid of my starting quarterback. Let's look at his actions the last 3 years. All right. I spent my whole morning planning this out.
Uh-oh.
John Gruden has let go of every single player on the Raiders that he inherited except for Derek Carr, Nicholas Morrow, who got better and better and they couldn't get rid of him, Jalen Richard, who I think is going to be cut before the season starts. Because he's going to be making more than Josh Jacobs, and we picked up Kenyon Drake. Like, I love you, Jalen, but I think he's gone. And then Carl Joseph, who was let go and then brought back. So basically, I think when we suit up against the Baltimore Ravens in Monday Night Football to start Week One, the only players on that 53-man active roster that John Gruden inherited will be Derek Carr and Nicholas Morrow. Yeah. So he let go of everybody else, but he kept those two guys, one of them being Derek Carr. Does that sound like a coach that wants to get rid of Derek Carr? No. What else has John Gruden done since he's got here? He's traded away literally the best player on the team multiple seasons in a row. What did he do? Like, before Khalil Mack, he even met him. He traded him away for a king's ransom. Amari Cooper, our best wide receiver, traded him away. Rodney Hudson, who was the best player on our team, traded him away.
He gone.
He gone. Gabe Jackson, the best guard on our team.
He gone.
Traded away. So he has no problem. Even when guys have a lot of value and he can get a lot for them, he trades them. But he didn't do it to Derek Carr. Derek Carr has a very, very easily tradable contract. Non-guaranteed money.
Sweet contract.
Oh, he has an awesome... GMs would be drooling for to have Derek Carr on their roster for what he costs, right? And yet, John Gruden keeps him. Okay. What else has John Gruden done? He signed expensive free agents to almost every single position. Because you're thinking to yourself, well, you know, maybe Gruden just doesn't have the money. Maybe he just doesn't want to spend all that money on a quarterback when he has someone. He doesn't want him, but he doesn't want to spend all that money. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Oh, you think that's what it is? You think that's what it is? This is what John Gruden has spent crazy money at almost every position you can. Tackle with Trent Brown. Wide receiver, Antonio Brown, Terrell Williams.
Yeah.
Tight end, Jason Witten.
Yeah.
Running back, Kenyon Drake. Mm-hmm. D end, Carl Nassib, Yannick Ngakoue.
Mm-hmm.
Linebacker, Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski. He has dug into that piggy bank over and over and over and over again for expensive players, usually overpaying.
Yeah.
Over market value for basically every player I mentioned. And Ngakoue was a pretty good deal considering how, you know.
No, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a pretty fair deal.
Yeah.
Basically everybody else above market value for all those players. You know who he didn't pay a lot of money for or get on free agency and overpay for? A quarterback. Because he's got Derek Carr. And so you're saying, John Gruden's a guy who wants to develop through the draft. He wants to build his team through the draft. He wants to start from scratch. He doesn't want someone's leftovers. He doesn't want table scraps from another franchise. He's the quarterback whisperer, right? He did all those one-on-one shows with quarterbacks coming out of college. He did one with Derek Carr. That's what he wants. He wants to draft a quarterback. He hates Derek Carr, but he wants to draft a quarterback. You know the only position John Gruden hasn't drafted in the last four drafts as quarterback of the Raiders?
A quarterback?
Kicker? And quarterback! He's literally drafted every single... He's drafted a fucking punter! But he's never drafted a quarterback.
He did.
He drafted a punter. He hasn't drafted a quarterback in round one, two... I was even down like before this draft. So I was like, hey, if they want to take a flyer on like a fifth round quarterback, right? Like develop a third string guy, you know, like why not? Right. What else? You know, how often do fifth or sixth rounders land? Like just, you know, try that. Yeah, he hasn't even done that. He hasn't even done that.
Yeah. But they have Nathan Peterman.
Speaking of Nathan Peterman, the only quarterbacks that John Gruden has signed, again, in the second stint with the Raiders, are a bunch of scrap heap duds. A.J. McCarron, he actually traded for.
That's awful.
Nathan Peterman, the joke of quarterback play in the NFL. Mike Glennon, it's like a giraffe.
Mike the Neck Glennon.
And then this one, the interesting one, and it's the one every single person who's listening to my voice has been screaming at the talker at the top of their lungs saying, what about Marcus Mariota? What about Marcus Mariota? What about Marcus Mariota? Oh, let's get to Marcus Mariota, shall we? He never started last season. Highest paid backup quarterback in football. Never started once. He played three quarters when Carr pulled his groin in a game in the second to last game of the season. And then in the last game of the season, playoffs aren't possible. Playing for nothing. No reason at all to put Derek Carr out there fresh off a groin injury and risk anything. Mm-hmm. You can add trade value to Mariota, right? Make him try to set up a game plan to make him look good, show him off, up his trade value. That's what we were saying in the game before.
Yeah.
Right. We were all saying, hey, start Mariota. Let Carr heal. Start Mariota. Hopefully he kicks ass and you trade him for great value. Even then, Derek Carr didn't start Marcus Mariota. He'd rather send a hobbling Derek Carr out there to play in a game that doesn't matter than another quarterback. Oh, and then they got Mariota to take a giant pay cut for like 25% of his original deal for next season. So everybody is saying Gruden wants to get rid of Carr. Gruden wants to get rid of Carr. Gruden wants to get rid of Carr. Gruden couldn't possibly say with his actions more, I want to keep Derek Carr, if he constantly carried around a giant neon sign over his head that says Carr's number one fan.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, and he's done basically what he could to help Carr be successful.
They work great together.
Yeah, they work great together.
They work great together. Carr's buying into his system, adjusting his play a little bit. Yeah. Carr's smart. Like, he can make all those reads that Gruden needs. Like, he can make every throw Gruden wants. Like, you know,
this turn in the allocation of funds seems like someone had a sit down talk with John Gruden and was like, look, man, I understand you're trying to build up this offense to be what you want it to be, but don't forget there's another side of the ball. Yeah. I can handle it. I can handle it on the offensive end. You put the offense trust in me. Let's put some of this money on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Carr's his guy. Carr's his guy until he isn't. And everything that he's done and everything that he's said, I think we're just a little bit kind of disenfranchised with, you know, coaches in the media, like, whatever, you know, they say what they want to say. They're just talking to talk.
Yeah.
But like you said, I mean, everything that he's done since he's gotten there has been Carr's my guy. So
nobody else is his guy. Khalil Mack, Rodney Hudson, Mark, like beloved Raiders players. There were tears shed when Khalil Mack and Rodney Hudson were traded.
I was so angry.
And yet,
I had a Mack boner for like the 3 years he was here.
Yep.
And then when he was gone, I haven't been able to get it back.
Flaccid ever since. I know.
Baby, come back. Yeah, I know, it sucks.
And you know how much John Gruden cares about, you know, like Raider Nation, Raider fans. Like, that's really important to him. No problem getting rid of Khalil Mack. No problem getting rid of Amari Cooper. No problem getting rid of Rodney Hudson. But he still keeps Derek Carr.
Derek Carr.
I don't know what else John Gruden could possibly do to tell all these goddamn talking heads, Derek Carr is my guy. Like, he's done with his actions over and over and over and over and over and over and over again.
It's the main reason why I've just kind of backed off the whole Carr debate, because
you've been proven wrong so many times that you don't want to be embarrassed anymore.
No.
You don't want to blush so hard that you get a nosebleed from the blood rushing to your face. Because that's going. A medical
keep
condition.
Keep going. Wait till you're done.
I think I made my point.
Okay. It's because he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's playing well enough to not be let go. As far as there's very few players available that can be an upgrade to Derek Carr. And even then, you're taking a big risk as far as these players are at the end of their career. I mean, this player is at the end of their career. But honestly, he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And he wasn't the reason we lost a bunch of games last year. So he's the one we have to roll with. And if this new kind of game plan going forward, as far as building a team, more of a team around him instead of just getting a bunch of young guys on the defensive side, but build, you know, spreading the allocation of funds a little bit more even. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. It looks like it's going to, we look a lot better on paper. But I mean, again, you know, we had a lot of young, talented players on paper that didn't perform for one reason or another. Now we got to see, you know, how that pans out.
John Gruden has had a lot of critics in how the Raiders have played in his last 3 years with the team. Imagine how more terrible it would be if he didn't have Derek Carr. If he like picks him or just went with Glennon or Mariota or Peterman or A.J. McCarron or drafted somebody, right? Like, people crap on Gruden's 3 years with the Raiders the second time around with Derek Carr. It would be a travesty. It would be a dumpster fire. He would be eviscerated if he didn't have Derek Carr carrying this offense.
Look, so we had Adam Hill on about a month ago, and he was saying that he wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders didn't perform up to the expectations this year, that Gruden might be on his way out.
Yeah, not getting fired.
On his own accord.
Yeah.
Own accord, because he works like an animal. He works like a dog every single day. He doesn't take days off. He rarely takes time off. To do all that just to get all this shit, he can go back to TV if he wanted to right now and get paid a shit ton of money.
Yep.
So, I mean, yeah, I think honestly he's kind of feeling it too. Gruden's kind of feeling it too, where he's like, all right, I hitched my wagon on Carr. I have to make better use of my resources to put a better team around him, not just a better offense around him.
Speaking of weapons, you posted this. It was like a Twitter poll?
No, it was on a Bleacher Report.
Okay. And it was what exactly?
So basically, Bleacher Report was doing something with, I think it was, what is it, Downey or Brownie, the quicker picker upper, whatever the hell it is, whoever that is. So whatever company to clean shit up. Anyway, so they had the quicker pick. So they're taking four NFL players and they're going to run a 40-yard dash. And you get the pick who's going to be the quicker one. Mm. Listen to these four players, okay? Mecole Hardman, Devin White. Okay, Mecole Hardman from the hated Chiefs, right? Mm. Devin White from the Tampa Bay Bucks. Justin Jefferson from the Vikings. And Henry Ruggs III from your Las Vegas Raiders.
Do Raiders.
I mean, the last time I saw it, Henry Ruggs was the winning selection. He was in the lead with like 53% of the votes. And the next closest is Mecole Hardman with 22%.
Because he has the fastest 40 time. I mean, it's like saying, all right, who do you think's taller? Shaq, RJ, or Soto? It's like, well, it's not really a competition. Like the stats are out there. It's like,
yeah. So, I mean, we'll see.
Who was born first? George Washington, Britney Spears, or Abraham Lincoln? Like, I'm going to go on the limb here and say George Washington. But I think it is a good example, though, of how little 40 time truly matters in football terms. Like, it's nice. Like, to be able to just run straight for 40 yards really fast is obviously useful and clearly a metric. Mm-hmm. But you don't have pads on. You're not fighting off a defender. You're not cutting. You don't have to slow down at a particular point. I think it's one of the most overrated stats in football.
Yeah.
Or one of the, not stats, but metrics. Most metrics, overrated yeah. metrics in football. Like, I'm glad that we have Henry Ruggs 3 sticks and the fastest player on every field he's going to be on, basically. Like, awesome. Yeah. That's good. I want that. But just because you have a faster 40 time than Tyreek Hill doesn't make you better than Tyreek Hill. Like,
yeah,
he can run faster than guys out of breaks, which is what's more important.
Yeah. And one thing that I was told that Keyshawn Johnson listens to the show. I was told that.
I want to be sure. I don't know
if the person was lying to me, but he said on his morning show that as a wide receiver, you don't have time to get into your sprinter stance, and you don't have blocks, you don't have any of that stuff.
Yeah.
When you get off the line. And there's a difference between being fast and being sudden. Like you said, getting out of breaks quickly and being able to keep your speed coming out of breaks. Mm-hmm. That was an issue with Ruggs all but of one half of one game last year when he tweaked his knee, and then he was just straight up and down guy. I don't see there being a really – I mean, Mecole Hardman probably going to be the closest one. Devin White, God bless him, he's fast as fuck for a linebacker, but he's
like 250.
He's huge. It's like you see Ruggs and Jefferson, like their shirts are kind of loose on them and shit, and yeah. Then you see fucking Devin White, the seams are busting at the shoulders. Like, this guy's fucking massive.
His shirts are waving the white flag like, oh, I don't want to die. I'm going to bust out of this thing.
Yeah. I check it on Bleacher Report, guys. Go ahead and search it, the quicker pick. And it's a little video package and everything. I think it's going to be May 20th or something like that. And tomorrow they're going to run it. So we'll see how it works out. But I do see Henry Ruggs taking it going away.
So that's receiver. Let's move on to running back. You picked a couple discrepancies coming out of old coach John.
Yeah. So basically, Pro Football Talk, Gruden had an interview with Pro Football Talk. He said, we're going to try to circulate touches Kenyon Drake's way. Yeah. Now, to add some context to that, he was asked and he was questioned about adding a Kenyon Drake to the team when you already have a Josh Jacobs.
Literally everybody was saying that the day he got paid. You're like, you paid how much for who when you got a Pro Bowler at running back? Okay.
What he did in that interview, and this is why I picked these two quotes. What he did in that interview was he spoke almost exclusively about Kenyon Drake and not about Josh Jacobs. So he wasn't talking up the fact that Josh Jacobs was a really good back. He was talking up all the virtues of a one Kenyon Drake, which he has a lot. He's shown to be a playmaker once he has. I mean, the teams that he was in.
Contract aside, I love him. I'm glad
he's a fucking player, dude. I mean, when he was with Miami, he was really his only guy, the only person they had. They got rid of him, and then they got, you know, some of the picks they got from him and all that stuff, they got a little bit better. And when he had the chance with the Cardinals, he killed it. Now, how do you balance that with Josh Jacobs? Now, a couple days later, actually 2 days later, on the Raiders report, which is look at the little intricacies here, guys. Okay. So on national media, Pro Football Talk, he's talking all this good stuff about Kenyon Drake. Not really so much, not talking bad, but not saying much at all about Josh Jacobs. Then 2 days later, he goes on the Raiders report, not a national media, but the Raiders report, mm-hmm. saying that Josh Jacobs is an MVP caliber back. Now, I'm not saying that he doesn't feel that both of these things aren't true, that he doesn't feel that way about each one of these guys, but how is he going to balance that? You basically have two lead backs. Even when the last time I saw something similar to this, I think we both saw something. The closest we saw was with the Saints, Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram. Those were two lead backs. But even then, there was still a hierarchy. There was still a lead dog and then another guy. So how are we going to balance that when you're paying all this money for a comp? Basically, I mean, if you look at it this way, he didn't call Kenyon Drake an MVP back, right? Mm-hmm. He called Josh Jacobs an MVP caliber back. So that's going to be, from what he's saying, from what I can gather from this, his lead back. How can you justify, not only justify paying Drake that much money to be a complimentary back, but how are you going to fit them both in your scheme to be able to get them enough touches and not take touches away from the rest of your team and playmakers that you have?
So you can tell that you've been a Raider fan for a long time and it's been a dry spell when you're worried because we have too many weapons. like that hasn't been – like you could tell. Like I got stacked offense, which we're starting to develop. It feels weird. You're like, oh, man, we have two starting running backs. This is a problem. This is bad. Like, no, Soto, this is a good thing. This isn't, I said it in the pre-show when we were discussing, like, it's a good problem to have. It's not even a good problem. It's just good. Like, it's just good to have two good running backs. And also,
I say it was a problem? I said, how is he going to manage these two backs?
I don't care. It's a couple good things about having a young offense, and especially one ran by a Derek Carr that is, we've talked about it on the show multiple times, how much his teammates like him, care about him, think he's a good player. That's really important. The superstars are super humble. Waller humble, Josh Jacobs humble. Rodney Hudson was, but now he's gone. But like all the stars are very humble. This isn't going to be a situation where one of them is going to be jealous that the other guys, like Drake's going to be jealous that Jacobs gets more touches. Like there's no hint that that's going to be an issue based on how these guys have behaved. So the fact that they're different, right? Jacobs a little bit more of a power guy, better blocker. Drake's a little bit more shifty, better catcher, right? So like you've got both guys can do everything, but Drake does some things better than Jacobs, and Jacobs does some things better than Drake. Yeah. And so they're different enough where you have different schemes for both guys. Mm-hmm. If one of them goes down, the other one can fill in everything the other guy did.
Yeah,
you know, pretty well, right?
Without a huge change.
Without a drastic game plan change if one of them goes down. And like, and you've brought it up multiple times, like Josh Jacobs has yet to make it through a whole season in his first two seasons of football. Like you could take some of that load management off of him. That'll keep him fresh for a little while longer. So it's like, Gruden's talking up Drake. Gruden's talking up Jacobs. Like good. Like this, there is no issue here to me. There is zero problem.
Well, also there's a couple other things too. If you want to take a look at that wide receiver room and how unselfish they are. Number one, Bryan Edwards last year was a glorified offensive lineman for the first few weeks of the season.
He was like a tight end that didn't catch passes.
Dude, he was blocking almost exclusively, okay?
Yep.
Look at how that wide receiver core reacted when he caught his lone touchdown last year. Mm-hmm. They went fucking crazy, okay? So they want their teammates to do well. This is where, hopefully, with the right scheme and the right people in place, hopefully we're drafting all those high character guys, all those team captains comes into play. When you have to spread the ball around a little bit, when the shine's not only shining on one or two people, but the shines are on the whole team, this is hopefully when that comes up and that becomes a good thing, because you got guys who are about the team and not about themselves. We saw it happen with Trent Brown. He was more about himself than the team, and the team just got rid of him. So, it's looking pretty good.
This is also what you got to do when you mentioned that receiver room. I love our receivers, right? Mm-hmm. I love them, but there's not a superstar among them.
Not yet.
Yeah, right? But there's the potential is through the roof, right? Ruggs healthy, could be something amazing. Bryan Edwards.
Dude, I got such high hopes for Bryan Edwards. Last year.
He's our only true X.
Yeah, he's coming out. He was a little bit banged up coming out of training camp last year, going into the season. But if not for that, I watched a lot of his tape last year. This guy was a fucking monster, man. South Carolina's had some good receivers. He went out there and he smashed those receiver records at South Carolina. And he comes into he's got that true combination that you want out of an X. He's a tall receiver. He's a little over 6'2". He's got big, strong hands. He's not super fast, but he's not slow. He gets out of his breaks quickly, and he adjusts well to high balls. Mm-hmm. And that was primarily what he did at South Carolina. They just threw the ball up in the air, and he went and got it.
Yeah.
So I got high hopes for him this year.
Yeah. So like the potential is through the roof, and even Hunter Renfrow is a proven commodity. He's still getting older and, you know, getting better every single season, right? So, older in a good way, right?
Man's hairline, bro. You're talking about the man's hairline.
He already looks like he's 40. Might as well play with the smarts of a 40-year-old, right? So, but like the other part of this, because you mentioned Kenyon Drake, like as much as I love our receivers and the potential is there, not a superstar among them, right? There's no DeAndre Hopkins, no Mike Evans, no Julio Jones, no Tyreek Hill or Keenan Allen, Devontae Adams, great. John Brown is our best wide receiver, right?
Most accomplished.
I would say he's our best. Most accomplished, right? And so that's why I think John Gruden. I think John Gruden brought up the talking points in Kenyon Drake for two reasons. One, I think he heard how he got so much criticism for giving him such a big contract. Yeah. And so he's like, oh, he's like a receiver. Like, I'm basically paying running back money for a receiver. Like, that's what it is. He's a receiver. But two, I think he understands that you can't just have Darren Waller be the only major receiving threat every single week. Like,
he was last year and he fucking balled out, but you
balled
can't,
out, right? But give him some help.
Long-term success that way. Yeah.
Give him some help. Right. So I think Gruden's like, okay, I'm looking at my receiver room. Just in case Ruggs doesn't pan out, just in case Edwards doesn't pan out, just in case Hunter Renfro's already reached his peak and he's not going to get any better, let's get a really good receiving back. So we got Drake coming out of the backfield. We got Waller coming off the line or lined up anywhere. Right. All you need is one of these other guys to break out. All you need is Ruggs, Edwards, Brown to be the next, you know, to be our Nelson Aguilar of last season. And we've got a really, really, really dangerous, diverse pass catching group. Really, if multiple of these young guys pan out, we're kicking ass. We are kicking ass, taking names. If multiple young receivers break out.
So Waller, we know what he is. He's mm-hmm. a dominant tight end that you can line up anywhere.
Yep.
Renfro, we know what he is. Okay.
Slot guy, reliable.
He's a slot guy, reliable.
Perfect routes.
Precise routes. He's going to be where he's supposed to be.
Deceptively fast too. Like, I forgot how many guys he ran past last season.
I think the thing is, it's like, he's so small. It's his legs are moving like the, and you don't see that he's moving until he's on you. And then like, okay, then he's by you.
It's like how like a red Honda Civic looks faster than like a brown Porsche. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't.
Yeah, the red just makes it look
faster. Yeah, the red just looks faster. Like, he doesn't look like a fast guy, but he can move.
No judgments on anyone who has a red Honda Civic out there.
No, not at all.
But
it looks fast.
It looks fast. I really do see Ruggs. I wouldn't say breaking out, but I would see becoming a lot more productive than just a decoy. Mm-hmm. Kyle Cochran said it a few weeks ago. As far as, ask Nelson Aguilar how much Derek, you know, how much Henry Ruggs helped the offense. Well, yeah, you don't draft somebody in the first round to be a decoy.
Yeah.
Okay. You draft them to be productive, especially if it's the first receiver taken. So I get what he was trying to say, but I mean, yeah, you still have to produce if you're in the first round. So I see that happening this year for sure. And again, Edwards, if they become slightly above average receivers, there's going to be a big problem for the defensive coordinators against the Raiders, because you have to also look at the fact that they can run the ball too. Yeah. They have good running backs.
We're only talking passing game. Yeah, how dangerous we are right now. Like, not even the possibilities with Jacobs and Drake, and if this offensive line is able to mesh like we hope it can. Like,
if you're in the red zone mm-hmm. and you have Waller split out one way, and you have Edwards split out the other way, and you have Foster Moreau in the middle, those are three very big, very athletic, very talented pass catchers that can go up and get balls over any.
Kenyon Drake in the backfield who can catch a swing either direction.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. Hopefully we can put it all together. It looks good.
And this is another part of how just like the Raiders get so much lazy media coverage. One of the other top five criticisms I get is like, I don't understand what Gruden's doing. I don't understand what his plan is. I don't understand. Like, what does he have?
I don't understand what's in RJ's teeth.
Me neither. It's delicious, whatever it was. But it's like, okay, like we have been as critical as you can possibly be on him overpaying guys, reaching for guys in the draft. Like that,
and
that's
fairly
all, like,
so. We're not just
absolutely
shitting on the
guys. Those are criticisms you should get. But the plan is there. The plan is absolutely there. Like, you took away a chunk of the $35 million you were spending on three linemen. You're now spending less than half that on guys that could potentially be about 80%
as good.
Who
started for you before? These aren't scrap heap guys.
Proven commodities, right? Other than our rookie Leatherwood, right? Who we'll learn about, right?
He's going to be good, man. He's just offensive lineman translate to the NFL. Very, very, very good.
But you go younger and cheaper and more athletic at line. And then you go, okay, what are our let's hedge our bets in case these receivers that we have high hopes on don't pan out. Kenyon Drake, keep Foster Moreau. You add these, like, you know, John Brown comes in, could potentially be the Nelson Aguilar, right? People forget the last two seasons, the Raiders' number one receiver never played a down.
Nope.
Antonio Brown fiasco two seasons ago, Terrell Williams last season.
Yeah.
And yet, and still, Derek Carr throws for 4,000 yards, top 10 offense, even with the number one receiver not putting on pads once. Just having all of his receivers make it out of training camp and suiting up for game one is better than the last two seasons for the Raiders. So I absolutely see the plan. I absolutely see the plan. Hope that Ruggs and Edwards ball out like we hope they do. Mm-hmm. And if not, you've got Moreau, you got Waller, you got Kenyon Drake. You got other guys who can fill that role. If the receivers, we don't throw to receivers like we haven't been, we have tons of other targets elsewhere. We're good.
You know what's crazy too? What I was looking at, I actually watched a little bit of Raider film this last week on the 2019 season. You know, Derek Carrier had 13 catches that year. He was only active like half the season. Mm-hmm. Derek Carrier. So he was like the fourth tight end or something like that on the team. Yep. Derek Carrier is not a bad player.
We have the best tight end room in football.
Derek Carrier can be this year's Foster Moreau, what Foster Moreau was like last year, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like a young, well, he's not too young. He's probably around 30 now. But he's a serviceable player. If you want to do a jumbo set, and use Waller as your receiver, as your X receiver on that jumbo set.
He's a legit receiver.
Three pass catching threats out there, and your two tight ends and your tight end receiver. But yeah, there's weapons out there, man. There's definitely weapons.
So you were talking about people who listen to our show. I think all the rookies listened to your rant last week, Soto.
Good.
That rant really turned people around. People were starting to hate you because you hate Derek Carr and. You know, you thought Jonathan Abram wasn't even going to make the squad. Dick. You welch on your push-up bet, which you did. You finally ended up to. So fair, okay. You finally did.
Since you're going to say that, I'm going to say this. I don't hate Derek Carr. I never said that Abram wasn't going to make the team. Okay. I never said that. I said I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make the team, if his play didn't improve. But I also said we need to demand more of our of everyone in the Raiders organization. I did say that.
Okay. So the NFLPA made a ruling, I think it was last week, that certain training camps, certain players don't have to go because of COVID. It's basically like everyone's using. So the pool at this condo that I rent sometimes when I go to vacation to Catalina, it's still closed because of COVID. An outdoor pool is closed because of COVID. When all rules say you can be outdoors and be fine, they just don't want to pay to upkeep the pool. That's all it is. They're just blaming COVID for that.
How much algae was in that pool?
This is what the NFLPA is doing. They're just like, all right, our players don't want to practice. Like if you can get paid the same and work less, you're going to do that, right?
Yeah.
That's what the NFLPA is doing with this. Oh, because of COVID, you guys don't have to do these OTAs and stuff. Not with the Raiders.
Mm-mm.
They're all showing up to OTAs, all rookies, over 70 players are showing up.
Yeah, all undrafted free agents, all rookies. Oh, yeah, there's a little princess.
Breaking into my show. Get out of here.
Oh, yeah, dude, all the young guys are there. Mm-hmm. From what I read, most of the younger first and second year players have shown up, and if they're not on the field for OTAs, they're in the training room getting work. So they're in the facilities studying and training. So that's it's a positive thing, man. And Derek Carr's there, so he's out there. You know, he's the leader, and he's one of the guys who's out there and who's leading by example. Hopefully, he becomes a little bit more vocal, and he demands from everyone what's needed to be successful. So we're looking. It's a good start. It's a good start.
If there's one silver lining to not having superstars in a lot of positions, like we don't have any superstars at any position other than like tight end.
That's it.
Running back. That's basically it, right? The silver lining to that is everyone feels like they have a shot, and everyone knows if you don't bust your ass, you can get cut. Right. Yep. That's what we have.
Last week, we talked about it last week.
Yeah, we have 30 defensive tackles, 20 DBs. Like, yeah, the lowest guy in that. Like, I don't care who you are on the Raiders, where you stand on the depth chart. If you're a safety, you can start. You could absolutely be the starter. Cornerback, you could absolutely be the starter. Defensive tackle, you could absolutely be the starter.
Sure.
And that's what, and that's like a good part of a not great situation is all these players are like, I can be something on this team. I could really contribute. I could be a star. I can make money. I can get some starting reps. I'm gonna put all that extra work in. Nothing's gonna be given this season. And this is a nice benefit of that, is everyone showing up and doing the extra work 4 months before the season begins.
Did you see I think it was David Urban. I don't know who exactly it was, but he deadlifted 1,000 pounds like butter. You see that?
You see how, like, the ends of the bar?
He had the tape. He
ran out of real estate. They could not put any more plates on there, so they were taping plates on top of the plates.
That was impressive.
He ran out of real estate on the bar.
It was a safety squat bar, so it wasn't like a true deadlift, but it was still, I mean, 1,000 fucking pounds. Yeah, it was impressive, and he didn't look like he struggled too much.
It's like
I'm looking for big things from him. If you have that kind of strength, you have some power coming off that line.
Deadlift is easily the most man lift of any weightlift.
You're picking up a dead body, basically.
I'm just gonna pick this straight up, and it's not like any beach muscle, right? You're not doing biceps or chest or anything like that. It's athletic, but it's also just, it's like the full body muscle builder. Like, it engages like almost every fiber of your body.
Your grip, your shoulders, your back.
It just makes you thick. You know what I mean?
Your core.
It makes you thick.
Not where you want it, though.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a football player, I want to see some big asses this season.
Oh, whoa.
I want to see some juicy booties in those silver pants.
I want to see some
deadlifts. You ready to do some what up windbags?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You picked most of these. I picked one.
All right.
Marvin Derby City Sanders.
Marvin Derby City Sanders, baby.
We are really building depth! Exclamation point. Too many injuries occurred last season, including bad coaching. Obviously, great depth will hopefully fix that problem this year. Bringing in Gus Bradley and staff, we seem to have drafted versatile, talented pieces to fix what has been a huge problem offensively and defensively. The depth part is absolutely true. Other than Yannick Ngakoue and Kenyon Drake, we didn't really pick up like playmakers, name guys.
Well, we got three safeties in the draft who were playmakers.
And Carl Joseph.
So Gillespie, Merrick, and Diablo, even though Diablo's going to be more of a hybrid linebacker, those are three playmaking guys out of safety, and they're interchangeable. They can go in the box as well. All three of them can. So I see where he's going with as far as getting versatile players.
Eric Molina. We don't necessarily need playmakers on defense. We need players to do their job. We need a middle of the pack defense instead of a bottom dwelling defense. I mean, that's true. Like that is, but that's only because we haven't been able to get even an average defense in a decade, right? So it's like
Mr. Molina.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
Well, I'll say we still need playmakers. In Gus Bradley's defense, you specifically need playmakers on the defensive line. You need to be able to get to that quarterback for Gus Bradley's defense to work, right?
You're built on turnovers.
The DBs can be like our DBs, young, still learning, athletic, with potential. But as long as they just know what their role is and don't make critical errors, we could be in a good place if our D-line delivers.
Yeah.
So, like, hopefully you get both, right? You get defensive players that know their role, do their job when necessary, and then you get the playmakers that pick up the rest of the slack.
Mr. Molina, I would go ahead and go to about the 42-ish minute mark of last episode when I talk about demanding more, expecting more, and demanding more out of your team. You got to shoot for the moon, because even if you miss, right, RJ?
Still end up among the stars.
Yeah. We got to shoot. If we're going to be like, yeah, we need a middle of the pack defense.
If we had an average defense, I will be doing backflips every single Sunday.
Great. But that's not the finish goal. Line. That's not the finish line there. That is a path,
in the right direction.
A stop mark along the way mm-hmm. to where we want to be. Because definitely we don't want to just stop at having a mediocre or an average defense. Shoot for the stars.
Safwan Malik. When Soto isn't drawing targets on Derek Carr's back, he's actually a pretty intelligent and well-spoken guy. You can tell that Soto picks these ones. Had some good points today. In my opinion, replacing Paul Gunther with Bradley just based on last year would have won us another 2 to 3 games at least. We aren't as far as we think, but Chargers are going to be a problem now. And then Dick Vitale responded to Safwan. Every time I watch these guys, I'm always waiting for Juan to crap on the team. I'm rarely disappointed. You always find
I want to make sure that I tickle my own balls a little bit, but I also stay humble and mm-hmm. put the shit talk on there too.
So, but I think Safwan makes a really good point. If we would have gotten rid of
it, and I am very well spoken, yeah. So yes.
And you rarely disappoint when you want us like start shitting on people and you draw a lot of targets on DC's back. So, but he makes the middle point was the biggest one. I wonder what our record would have been if Gruden got rid of Paul Gunther last offseason. Yeah, instead of week 15, if we would have got rid of him before last season started, would we be 10-6, 11-5? There's a lot of games where our offense put the team in position to win, and all we needed was just a slight pulse in our defense to finish the game. We couldn't even deliver that. I think 10-6 would have been our record.
The three games that I see, actually, yeah, three games, is the Dolphins game.
No brainer.
Second Chargers game.
No brainer.
And the second Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Those three games right there, because the offense did more than enough to win those games. Mm-hmm. You can say the defense fell apart in the fourth quarter of the Bucs game mm-hmm. because through three quarters, they were doing kick ass. But the offense stopped doing anything after about the middle of the second quarter. Those three games, right? They could point to those three games. If we had any type of defense, I think even just the last possession, any type of defense at all, we probably would have won those games.
The last what a windbag I picked based purely on the guy's name, but then I read the actual question. I'm like, oh, good question. El Brownholio says.
El Brownholio.
El Brownholio. LeBron Julio, poor coaching and epic letdowns have killed this team's confidence in itself. Offense has no trust in D, and the D has no confidence in itself. That's the hole. Because the question on one of the videos last week was, what's the hole in the Raiders' defense? And we were both like, it's not like there is a hole. It's just a whole problem. And so I guess if you had to pick one thing, it's confidence. If the team's lacking confidence, then you second guess yourself. You don't react well. And there's been confidence and cocky, right?
Yeah.
They got cocky at the end, at the, you know, the last two thirds, the last third of the last two seasons. And we completely fell off the wagon. But confidence is knowing I put the work in, I'm going to move fast, be quick, know what my responsibilities are. And mm-hmm. Gus Bradley is a good defensive coordinator for confidence because players love him, right? Just such a likable guy.
Everybody who's played for him likes him.
Yeah. So we'll see. See if El Brownholio gets his wish and we get some confidence out of our D next season. All right, that's it for us. Until next time,
knock on wood if you're with me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Autumn Windbags. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the social medias, because it helps us help you give you what you want. Until next time, later.